Well, Andy started as an introduction to worship by saying, well, we started with the lights out and it was dark, but it got lighter. Well, what I'm going to do this morning might sound a bit dark to start with, but it's going to get lighter, okay? So stick with it. Right? So that's the theme this morning, because we're on this whole season of looking at the kingdom of heaven and the implications of that for our lives and how we deal with things. And one of the things we were chatting about last week was Satan's influence. And this week we're going to focus a little bit on this whole area of deception and indeed avoiding deception. We can easily be deceived, can't we? Well, you're not so sure. Okay, we'll find out. But I think one of Satan's most effective strategies is deception. In fact, if you think about what was the very first incident that Satan had of involvement with humanity. Adam and Eve, Genesis 3, where Satan appears to Eve and says, did God really say? He's just sowing seeds of doubt and deception in her mind. And Satan has not changed. He continues to try and bring deception to us to get us to believe things that just simply are not true. And God has some truth that he wants to impart into our hearts and lives, and I hope we can grasp something more of that this morning. And even though I guess most of us here today would say we are Christians, we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're part of the family of God, but I do come across people who still feel, actually, guilt. Issues of guilt, issues of feeling maybe even a little bit condemned of things that happened historically, still feeling as though they're a little bit tainted by the history of their lives, when the truth is Jesus wants us to be totally free, because he who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. I love some of the songs this morning, which were very much focused on that as we were worshipping today. And one day in Scripture, Jesus was challenging some Jews. And if you've got your Bibles, you can flick it open to John's Gospel, chapter 8. And he's really challenging them to believe in him. And he shares these words with us from John 8 and verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I've not come on my own, God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. You know, Jesus isn't muck about, did he? I mean, he really went for it. And then he says, talking about the devil, he says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth. For there is no truth in him. This is the devil. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe in me. So we're going to have a look at that whole thing about the devil, how he can lie to us, how he can bring deception. But apart from that, also the influence of other human beings on us, others, people speaking into our lives. We're all susceptible to deception in many ways. And even our own hearts, our own thoughts. Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is deceitful above all things. Why is that? Well, we are affected by a sinful nature. So our hearts are deceitful in themselves. And Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew 24, watch out. Watch out that no one deceives you. Don't know what you're watching out for this week, but watch out that no one deceives you. So we need to be aware. Okay, I've got a little graphic on screen, so if we can just go to that. There we are. That's you. You are now a Christian. Hey! Okay, you recognize yourself there, yeah? But all these little arrows come at us, and they're not just little arrows trying to attack us. The Bible calls them fiery darts of the enemy. Yeah? So click in again, Lisa. Oh, yeah, the flames came on as well. How cool is that? So these are the fiery darts of the enemy. And somehow, according to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, we have got to get our shield of faith up. Click it again. A ring of steel around our lives to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Okay, so we're going to look very... I'm going to have to be quick because there's tons of stuff. So, areas where we need to be aware that we are susceptible to deception. Number one, are you ready? Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. You ever come across people who say, well, I'm a good person, really. I don't think God would ever send me to hell. Ever come across people like that? John's first epistle, 1 John 1, 8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's just deception. We deceive ourselves in that. And the Bible quite explicitly says in Romans 8 that we have all sinned and fall short of God's glorious standards. Yeah? But here's the good news. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So yes, we recognize that we actually are all sinners. But there's a good news end to the story. And we'll come back to that a little bit later on. So, last thing we want to be is self-righteous. We're righteous through Christ. But the second thing, and fundamentally, is sin itself. When you and I gave our lives to Jesus Christ, I don't know how it affected you. I do think it should affect us quite profoundly. It's a transformational thing when Jesus Christ comes into our lives. He's the creator of the universe, for goodness sake, yeah? Changes completely as we allow his spirit to do so. And I really think if we've got that experience of God and the spirit of God begins to work in us, it just changes everything. You know, you don't need people to say to you, actually, you know, probably you didn't ought to be doing that anymore. I find the spirit of God speaks to my life. God's spirit joins with our spirits to affirm that we are God's children, Romans 8, 16. And I just think that is so key. I remember chatting to somebody one Sunday morning, a business person, and they said, do you know, it's really weird. Since I gave my life to Christ, I can't do what I used to do in business. I have to be a bit more moral. I have to do things right. Yeah? Because it's affecting my whole life. It's not just turning up on a Sunday. 1 John 3, dear children, John says this, do not let anyone lead you astray. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. That's powerful, isn't it? Because God's seed remains in them, they cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Sin gets dealt with as we put our hands in Jesus, in the hands of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm shooting through these. We could talk loads on these, and maybe there's more areas as well. Okay, we have all got the privilege in this room, I think, and if you haven't, let me know afterwards. We've all got the privilege of access to the Word of God. It can be in an old-style Bible, one here, or some technological whiz and gizmo today. It is so accessible to us. James says this, James chapter 1, verse 22. When we don't apply the word of God, we really do open ourselves to deception. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So we've got access to the word of God, this powerful two-edged sword. Apply it to our lives. You know, when the psalmist said, and it's one of my favorite scriptures, you'll have heard me quote it on many occasions if you've been around the church for a while, in Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then if I don't take notice of the word of God, my feet are not going to be ready for the journey he wants me to take, and I'm going to fall off the path. Yeah? We easily get deceived and we easily get knocked off course. But as we apply God's word to our hearts and lives, it changes everything. Number four, blind spots. The only problem with blind spots is we don't know we've got them. Because by definition, we are blind to them. That was deep. You just have to think. It'll probably come to you on by Tuesday, that one. But Galatians 6, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. We've all got our blind spots. Could be a pride thing. Obadiah says, chapter 1, the pride of your... There is only one chapter, I think. Is that right? Yeah. The pride of your heart has deceived you. And Paul, the apostle, 1 Corinthians 3, says, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you become fools. Sorry, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. Anyone who thinks they've got all the answers, wake up and smell the coffee. I was thinking about this, and it took me back to when I was a little boy. And some of you will know my dad's Welsh. And he had quite a liking for a Welsh comedian. And if I say the name, Max Boyce. Oggy, oggy, oggy! Oh, do you know? I didn't know whether you'd do that. Max Boyce, comedian, follower of Welsh rugby. When I was a little boy, my dad had a cassette tape with Max Boyce on it. And he tells this story on it. And I did wonder whether to try and tell the whole thing. It does take too long. I will press-say it a little bit. But he talks about a man who enlists the help of his friend. And he says to his friend, will you come and help me tonight? I will try and do it with a Welsh accent because it comes over a bit better. And I can do, I'm allowed to do it because I'm Welsh. I've got Welsh ancestry, okay? So don't knock it. He said, can you come to my house about 11 o'clock tonight? He said, wait till my wife has gone to bed. And so his friend says, oh, okay, yeah, I'll come and help you. Yes, no, what do you want me to do? He said, well, don't worry, just come. And when you get there, you'll find out what we need to do. So the guy arrives about 11 o'clock at night, and his friend is in his front garden. And in his front garden, he's got this pig. I mean, it's a big pig. And he says to his friend, he says, what are you doing with that pig? Well, he says, I need to get it in the house. That's why I've called you. Can you help me get it in? So anyway, I'll cut this. This really does go on a long time on the cassette. All right. So they get it eventually in the house. And then the guy says, would you tell me why you want to get it in the house? He says, well, no. He says, help me get it up the stairs. Up the stairs. So they get it up the stairs and get it on the landing. And then he says, would you help me get it in the bathroom? I mean, this is a huge pig. So they get it in the bathroom. And he says, and I'll go back to the Welsh accent if I can do it. He says, now he says, I've helped you get it in the house and I've helped you get it up the stairs. Why did you want it in the bathroom? He said, well, we haven't finished yet. Can you help me get it in the bath? So they struggle and they huff and they puff and they get it in the bath. And he says, well, will you tell me now why you need this pig in the bath? You could have bathed him. You could have got a hose pipe outside. Yeah. It's hard work, this Welsh accent. He says, oh dear. He said, well, I'll tell you why. He said, well, my wife, she's one of these people who knows everything. So when I told her the other day that Mrs. Brown has got a new car, she said, I know. And then when I said, I've just heard on the radio that the Chancellor of the Exchequer is introducing a living wage next April, she said, I know. Well, tomorrow morning, everything you see, she says, I know. Tomorrow morning, she always gets up before I do. And she'll go to the bathroom. And then she's going to come around now screaming, there's a pig in the bath. And I go, I know. Next point, careless talk. 2nd World War had a poster campaign, yeah? Some of you know it. careless talk costs lives. Another of the posters in that campaign, and it's not on the screen, but says this. It says, be like dad, keep mum. Anyway, you think about that one. But this is what James says, James chapter 1, verse 26. Those who consider themselves to be religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. Wow. And here's one just to think about. Apostle Paul, Ephesians 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Selah. Just think about that for a moment. Wow. Wow. If we get a hold of that one. Next one. I've called this one false expectations. The lie of the devil, sometimes into our hearts and lives, is, yeah, it doesn't matter. You can get away with this. It doesn't really matter. Who's it going to harm anyway? Again, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6 would say, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. You know, we can all get deceived into inappropriate activity. That the devil will justify, well, who's it going to harm? And I'll let you fill in the blanks what the inappropriate inactivity is. We can each get deceived on stuff like that. Next one, bad company. These are all those arrows from that picture. 1 Corinthians, again, the Apostle Paul, chapter 15. He says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought to and stop sinning. Isn't peer pressure a huge thing? We see it with kids in school. Led astray, we would use the terminology. But it isn't just kids in school, is it? Or kids going off to university. It can affect each one of us. When we're in a room of people, whether it's in a workplace, in an office setting, and things are being said, conversations are being had in a style, in a way that actually you're really not comfortable with, but actually you just get along with it. And in one sense, you know, we have to work in those places. We have to be people of light. But actually, sometimes there is a moment to step out of that and to step aside from that and to just give some distance. The lie of the devil would be, well, this is the way it is. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's talking like this. It's okay. It's deception. Next one, lack of understanding of the signs of the times. I'm not going to read this for time's sake, but Matthew chapter 24, there's a little passage in that chapter. It talks about this whole thing about the end of the age, about how to be aware of it, how to see things that are coming, and to be aware, and this is linked with this whole business about false teachers, people who are selling lies. Verse 4 and 5 says, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah, and they'll deceive many. You know, sometimes you get people like that. I remember, the sports presenter David Icke a few years ago going very public on some of this sort of stuff. But it can be even more subtle than that. You know, there's even the challenge of persecution, and we pray about it. A number of us were praying for persecuted situations around the world just this last week. And in this country at the moment, we don't see huge amounts of that by any stretch of the imagination. But this is what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 9. You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. You know, when you hear stories, I remember a number of years ago, stories coming out of North Korea, where Christian families were being taken, and the children were being stood in front of tanks. And the parents were being told, unless you denounce your faith, we are going to run over your children with these tanks. Wow. What would I do in that situation? Many will turn away from the faith. It's a huge one, isn't it? And we could easily pontificate in here this morning. But actually, until those things actually affect our hearts and lives, we can only guess what perhaps we would say and do. But Lord, help us to make the right decisions. Verse 24, false messiahs, false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect of God. You know, don't be surprised in the UK if the church and we as Christians don't see something more of some of this persecution that is being seen around the world. And I think we're right on the edge of some things in this country right now. Political correctness. I'll tell you what Charlton Heston said. And he played Moses, so he must know what he's talking about. Charlton Heston said this: political correctness is tyranny with manners. Wow, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? And I think some of the political correctness that we are beginning to hear today is representative of a false prophetic voice in our nation. And it is beginning to affect the church. We should not be surprised at these things. But we need to know how to deal with these things and stand strong. Two more of these arrows. Wealth will be another one. You remember the parable of the sower that Jesus tells? The story of the man who goes out to sow his seed, Mark 4, verse 18. He says, some people are like seeds, are like the seed that's sown among the thorns. They hear the word. They hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. I don't think at all Jesus was saying money was bad or wealth was bad. It's where that priority comes in your life. Whether we let it dominate or not. Final arrow, flattery. Flattery. Romans 16, the Apostle Paul again. Watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Flattery is a sneaky bounder. It really is, isn't it? It initially sounds like encouragement. And of course, we are encouraged to encourage. The Apostle Paul would say, encourage one another up, build each other up in this most holy faith, just as you continue to do, you know, keep doing it. But flattery, what is that? It's rooted in manipulation. In fact, if you look up the definition of flattery, it says excessive and insincere praise, given especially to further one's own interests. That is so true. And relationships are blasted apart. Sometimes, and it sometimes starts with flattery from one person to another that breaks another relationship. Okay. Let's put the graphic back on screen, Lisa. So here we go, these little arrows. So these are the things we've just been, very quickly, there are probably other things as well. So what we want to do now, in the last few minutes, is create a ring of steel, some faith. If you will. Click it again, Lisa. All right? And we want to quench these fiery darts, as the apostle said. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to protect ourselves from deception? Number one, God-given wisdom. Proverbs, the writer says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Both wisdom and knowledge are sourced in the fear of the Lord. And if you look up the word fear in Scripture, you get lots of different contexts to it. But when it's talking about the fear of the Lord, it's defined as this: the continual awareness that our loving Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything we say and do. That was quite a mouthful. I'm sorry I didn't put it on screen. But God is watching everything we say and do, but from a loving Heavenly Father perspective. Wow. And Jesus tells the seven churches in Revelation 1 and 2, I know your works. You know, we are going to be held account for some things. one day. We sing a song sometimes, it's called Almighty. And there's a line in that, and we sing it, and it says, I tremble before him. I tell you what, that's something of the fear of the Lord, having an understanding that God, the creator, the maker of heaven and earth, is watching over you and I. And yet, we're his children. I don't know what you were like with your parents. People have different experiences with parents. My goodness. My parents, well, I won't tell you which one, but sometimes they made me tremble. But it's because they love me. Hello? Okay. And I think linked with this is being Christ-centered. Again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Colossae, Colossians 2, he says, my goal is that they, this is the church, may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. I just want you to know Christ. Get your eyes on Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by sounding arguments. I tell you what, the more we know Christ, the more we'll have our faith built up and we'll be quenching those fiery darts of the enemy. As the song says, in Christ alone, my hope is found. Yeah. I said right at the beginning, we've got to get our eyes on Jesus to deal with some of this stuff. He's got to become the focus of our attention. I mean, it is logic. I like a bit of logic. 1 John 3 says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So if we can keep Jesus in focus and right relationship with him, the devil's work continues to be destroyed in our lives and dealt with. Third thing, I think, is worship. Worshipping will get our focus off the lies of the devil, the deception that seeks to attack our thoughts. We sang a song this morning, I will set my face to seek the Lord. Give my full attention to my God, I will listen to his voice. We sing some powerful stuff. I tell you what, the more it is real in our lives, the more we'll be equipped to deal with deception. 2 Chronicles 20, if you've been around church for a while, you'll know this one. This is where Jehoshaphat and children of Judah, the tribe of Judah, are faced with this huge army coming to them. And it says in 2 Chronicles 20 that they were alarmed. They were totally alarmed at what was coming at them. And the message of the Lord said, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. In other words, get your eyes on him. And Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And they went out ahead of the army singing. How cool is that? No, they didn't sing that. They said, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. Getting their focus on the one who could help them. Lifting their faith. Scripture as well as worship. Paul writing to that young leader Timothy in his second letter to Timothy. I haven't got the exact. That's not 2 Timothy 13, 15. That's not right, is it? Anyway, there's a chapter missing out of there, but it's verse 13 and 15 of one of the chapters in 2 Timothy. It says, evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse. Things are going to get worse. How cool is that? No. Deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You know, it's that lamp unto my feet again. It's that light unto my path. Paul again, 2 Thessalonians 2. All will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. If you don't want to be condemned, get a hold of the truth. It brings life in all its fullness. Integrity. This is the last one. We could have done a number, I think, on this. But just to think about being people of integrity, I know I've spoken on this subject before, so I don't want to spend long on it. But avoiding deception in our own lives will help us not be deceived. So that whole thing of sowing and reaping again, really. Just be honest and straight with people. And as we do that, we really do show that we are a follower of Jesus. Christ suffered, it's on the screen, I think, for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. John Maxwell, the writer of many leadership books, said this: integrity is not what we do so much as who we are, and who we are determines what we do. Perhaps the band would come back. I lied a moment ago, so that wasn't good for integrity, was it? I've got something else to say. Humility. Humility. Antidote to pride. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. You know what is pride? Pride really does put a wedge in the door that allows error into our lives. But if we can keep a right spirit within us, yeah, it goes, it will just take us a long, long way. And then, this is the final. Accountable. Just to be accountable, in the right sense of the word. You know, Romans 14 says, tells us that one day we will give an account. I mentioned that a few moments ago. But we all need help. We need help in setting our plans. But we need help with having people speak into our hearts and lives. And I pray that each one of us has got people around us who they just feel comfortable and able in a right way to speak to us in truth and love. Because we all certainly do need it. It's going back to what we said before. We haven't got it all. Not one of us in this room. We are still being changed. And it's having people around us to help us. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working. Let's just put the screen up again, Lisa. So here we've got all these things, and potentially others as well, that really do seek to deceive us and drag us down. But yet God gives us some keys in his word to build our faith, to encourage us, and to see some breakthroughs in some of these things. And my prayer this morning is that maybe what applies, if there's anything that applies to you, out of that whole list of things we've just very quickly gone through today, that you'll say, Lord, yeah, I really want some more of that in my life to be able to deal with some of these issues that are on this screen. Lord, help me. Why don't we stand? We're going to pray. And then I want us to sing. How many of you are glad that Jesus Christ did come to deal with the works of the devil? Well, that's three of you. That's great. See, when Jesus died upon a cross, he got a fantastic victory. But the devil is such a deceiver, he will come and whisper into your heart and my heart and say, actually, there are some things that you're going to struggle with for the rest of your life. But I believe all this has been dealt with at the cross. And Jesus wants to bring truth to bear in our hearts and lives so we can lift up a shield of faith that can quench that deceptive arrow into our hearts. I just want to encourage everyone this morning just to open our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, continue to help equip me to be all that I can be. Lord, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you did come to deal with those fiery darts of the enemy. Lord, I thank you that you've destroyed the works of the devil in truth. And Lord, today we just want to appropriate that victory for our hearts and lives. Thank you, the work of the cross is complete. Now help us by the power of your spirit, we ask, to apply your word to our hearts and lives, because your word is truth. which stands in the way of the deceptions of the devil and quenches every lie that he could throw. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, to keep hold of your truth, to lift it high, to declare it in the face of every onslaught, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.